അൽഹംദുലില്ലാഹി റബ്ബിൽ ആലമീൻ വസ്സലാത്തു വസ്സലാമു അലാ സയ്യിദിൽ അംബിയാഇ വൽ മുർസലീൻ അമ്മാ ബഅദ് ഫഊദു ബില്ലാഹി മിനശ് ശൈത്വാനിർ റജീം ബിസ്മില്ലാഹിർ റഹ്മാനിർ റഹീം റളിയല്ലാഹു അൻഹും വറദൂ അൻഹു ذلك لمن خشي ربه صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم ایک مرتبہ بآواز بلند درود شریف کا نذرانہ پیش کریں اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد معدن الجود والكرم ومنبع العلم والحلم والحكم وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم Yesterday we talked about the beginning of Nuzul-e Wahy, when the Wahy began to be revealed upon Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We also learned yesterday that Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala was from amongst the first men to accept Islam, and Sayyiduna Asadullah Ali ibn Abi Talib karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem was the first child to accept Islam. Sayyida Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of all the believers, was the first woman to accept Islam. And Sayyiduna Zaid, who was the servant of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was the first servant to accept Islam. Sayyiduna Zaid radiyallahu anhu was gifted to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a servant by his blessed wife Sayyida Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Through Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, many other men from amongst the people of Makkah accepted Islam. For example, Sayyiduna Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala accepted Islam through the invitation of Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala. Similarly, Sayyiduna Abdul Rahman ibn Auf and many other Sahaba-i-Kiram accepted Iman and Islam when Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala invited them towards this new message that was revealed upon Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed verses to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from amongst them the verse قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ, stand and invite people, aware the people, send the message of fear of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ, as for your Lord, then enchant and announce His greatness. So do the takbir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say Allahu Akbar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses in regards to purity and keeping yourself clean. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَثِيَابَكْ فَطَهِّرْ, as for your clothes and yourselves, keep yourselves clean and wash your clothes. And this was a revelation for the people of Jahiliyyah, for these were those people who never used to care about impurities. Their clothes would be dirty and they would smell of sweat and impurities. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this pure and clean faith upon Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was now teaching the people to reject the idols and stop worshipping the idols and only worship one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That there is none worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also revealed verses in regards to this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, كَ وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, that now stand and go and invite your close relatives. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to invite his relatives, his friends, and a few people of Mecca, one after the other. And what happened was that many slaves and servants accepted Islam. Many from amongst the rich people, like Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan, Sayyidina Zubair ibn Awam, and these type of rich people also accepted Islam. The people of Mecca were extremely angered by all of this, that their idols and their gods were being slandered at, they were being disrespected, they were being rejected, and these people who had accepted Islam, they were now worshipping this one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following this new faith. So the people of Mecca started to gather and hold meetings, and they all came to know now that it is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who is propagating and spreading this deen, and he claims to be the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now the people of Mecca, they tried whatever they could in order to stop Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from further propagating this religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They tried to use the Jews. They brought Jews from other places in order to question the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was claiming to be the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the Prophets Isa, Sayyidina Musa, and all these other Prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alayhimus salam. So in order to prove that he is wrong, they brought Jews who were experts in their books, and they brought them and sat them in front of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when they questioned the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the answers that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave through the wahi and through Jibreel alayhi salam were correct according to their scriptures, and they were shocked that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without having studied the Injil, the Tawrat, he had already all the answers that they wanted to ask. And this clearly showed that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not a false prophet to the Jews. Many Jews began to travel all the way to Makkah Mukarramah to come and accept this message of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what the people of Makkah did now is they started to call the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam a magician. They called him a madman. They said he is majnoon, he is mad. And they said he is a magician. He, when he speaks, there is magic in his words that people melt and they accept what he is saying. And he does dua and ta'weed. This is what they started saying. And they used to encourage children to walk behind him when he sallallahu alaihi wasallam would walk in the streets. And these children would shout things like, "You are a madman," or "You are a magician," and things like that to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he would walk in the streets. And they used to throw litter and rubbish onto the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was the beginning of the propagation of Islam, whereby the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced many hardships. Not only that, this is what happened with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At times when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to the Kaaba, and in front of the Kaaba, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be doing tawaf of the Kaaba, or he would start performing salah, then these people used to throw rubbish on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once Ibn Abi Mu'id, he said to the people of Mecca who were around the Kaaba that he is performing salah, or he is worshipping Allah in his manner. If any one of you will go and take these arteries or these intestines of this camel meat and throw it on his back, then I will reward him immensely. And a man stood up and he said, "I will do it." And he went and put intestines onto the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam whilst he was in sajda. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prolonged his sajda. And Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was a young girl, the daughter of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she was coincidentally walking around there and she saw that this was happening to her father. She came running and she removed them intestines, and she cleaned it off the back of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ek martaba durood sharif padh le. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina. The people of Mecca, they started torturing those who accepted Islam. They started persecuting those who had accepted Islam. Not only the poor people and the servants and the slaves, but even the rich people who had accepted Islam, even they were being tortured. And this had become the situation. The slaves, for example, who doesn't know about Sayyiduna Bilal radiallahu ta'ala? Sayyiduna Bilal radiallahu an was the slave of Umayyah bin Khalf. And when he accepted Islam, Umayyah forced him to denounce Islam. But Sayyiduna Bilal radiallahu ta'ala did not change. He did not move from his position of accepting Islam. He continued to say that I only believe in one Allah. Umayyah bin Khalf, he swore at Sayyiduna Bilal. He struck Sayyiduna Bilal with a stick many a times. But Sayyiduna Bilal radiallahu ta'ala did not denounce Islam. He then would tie a rope around the neck of Sayyiduna Bilal and tie that rope onto the saddle of animals, and the animals would drag Sayyiduna Bilal in the streets of Makkah Mukarramah and around the Kaaba. But Sayyiduna Bilal radiallahu ta'ala still did not denounce Islam. And then they used to lay him down on hot sand, and they used to place massive stones and rocks on his chest in order to burn his skin in the heat of Makkah Mukarramah in the midday. But Sayyiduna Bilal radiallahu ta'ala did not denounce Islam. All he had to do was say that I reject Muhammad and I believe in the idols, and he would have been relieved from all this punishment and torture and persecution. But Sayyiduna Bilal radiallahu ta'ala refused, and he kept saying Ahad, 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 one Allah, one Allah, one Allah. At times the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would walk past Bilal and see the situation that Bilal radiallahu anhu was in, and hear from his mouth that he would be saying Ahad, but the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would smile at him and encourage him to continue doing sabr. And Sayyiduna Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, and later in one narration it says that the way I used to be able to bear all this torture and punishment was that I knew when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would see me, he would smile. And for that one smile, I was willing to sacrifice everything. No matter how much I would be punished, I would bear it as long as I got to see the blessed face of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyiduna Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiallahu ta'ala, when he, in the time of Sayyiduna Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, when he was Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu ta'ala mentioned the torture that the Sabiqeen and Awwaleen had to face, the first Muslims. And he asked Sayyiduna Khabbab to mention what happened to him. Sayyiduna Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala said that I used to, when I accepted Islam, they punished me, the leaders of Makkah, they punished me in such a manner that they used to burn coal, and when the coal was red hot in the midday sun on the sand, they used to lie me down with my back touching on that coal. And he says that my skin would melt, the fat and the meat in my body would burn, the fat would melt and the meat would start burning, and the only way that coal would turn off was the liquid that occurred through the burning of my skin and the fat. And that is how they used to punish me. And Sayyiduna Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala requested to see the back of Sayyiduna Khabbab. And when Sayyiduna Khabbab removed his shawl, it was clearly seen by Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu ta'ala and the other Sahaba ikram of that time that there were big, massive white marks on the back of Sayyiduna Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiallahu ta'ala. In the same way, Sayyiduna Ammar, he was punished. He used to be stabbed with a spear in his stomach, in his legs. His mother was being punished. His father was being punished. His father Yasir. His mother Sayyida Sumayya radiallahu anha, she was being punished. Can you imagine a son being punished with his mother and father also being punished at the same time? This was a very hard time for the Muslims. And this is why the Sabiqeen and Awwaleen are the most superior amongst the Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that radiyallahu anhum wa radu, and Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyida Sumayya radiyallahu anha, the mother of Sayyiduna Ammar, Abu Jahl, in front of her son and her husband, ek martaba durood sharif par le, Allahumma salli ala Sayyiduna Muhammad, in front of her family, he picked up a spear and he shoved the spear in the private part of Sayyida Sumayya radiallahu anha, and she passed away. This was the beginning of Islam. whereby the Muslims faced so many tortures and so many hardships that it was hard to understand how a group of people could be so stone-hearted and so evil that they would punish people solely because they said there is none worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you imagine? Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was once walking near the Kaaba when he saw that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing salah. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing salah, this man, one of the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibn Abi Mu'id, he took a piece of cloth and he threw it on the head of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and then tried to pull it from the neck, trying to strangle the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he pulled so hard that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fell back, and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, upon seeing this, he came running. The best friend of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came running and he swung at this Ibn Abi Mu'id and he moved him away from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he removed that cloth and he comforted the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the people of Makkah that were there, Abu Jahl was there, they all jumped onto Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. They beat him so much that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was bleeding. And he had lost his senses. He was unconscious. And he had fainted. The people from the family of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala came. People like Abu Talib, who supported the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all throughout his life. They came, they took the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and they took Sayyidina Abu Bakr to his home. He was completely unconscious. He woke up in the night. When he woke up, the first thing he said to his mother is, "Where is Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How is he? Is he okay? Did anybody harm him?" This was all he was worried about. And at that time when he couldn't walk, he was lifted and carried to the house of Sayyidina Arqam, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. And he came to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, if anything happens to me, I don't care. Nothing is painful for me. As long as nothing happens to you and you are harmed, you have not been harmed, then everything is fine with me." And at that time, the mother of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and also accepted Islam. This was the time when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was under extreme pressure from those who had accepted Islam, from the enemies of Islam. They were trying everything they could in order to stop the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from continuing this message. Once they sent Utbah ibn Rabi'ah to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The people of Makkah, when they gathered, they did mashwara and they sent Utbah. He came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was an eloquent speaker. He was an expert in language, expert in communication. He came and he spoke to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said that, "Look, what is it that you want? Just ask us and we will give you whatever you want. But stop propagating this faith. Stop propagating this message that you are propagating. Stop speaking against the idols. Stop speaking against the faith of our forefathers, the faith of your forefathers." This is what they said to him. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a few verses of the Quran. When he heard the verses of the Quran, he was completely astonished and his heart melted, and he quietly returned to the people of Makkah, and he told the people of Makkah, like Abu Jahl and Umayyah and Walid, and he told them that the words that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying from his mouth, they are not the words of a magician. They are not the words of a kahin. They are not the words of a madman. Without doubt, he is being given wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Leave him and don't argue with him. Let him continue his message. Once Abu Talib came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the pressures of the people of Makkah, because the people of Makkah wanted to kill the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they could not do that because of the Bani Hashim and the Quraysh, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because of Abu Talib, they couldn't do that. So they came to Abu Talib and they said that it has now passed the limits. Have you seen what is happening? People are openly speaking against the idols and our religion, the religion of our forefathers. We, the Meccans, are being sworn at by the whole Arab world. Our stature and our honor is being lowered in all the Arab world because people are learning of what is happening in our city Makkah, that we cannot control a man speaking against our religion and swearing at our refuting our idols and our gods. So Abu Talib came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said that, "Oh my nephew, I have supported you all throughout, and I know you are the most truthful, and I know you have never lied, and I have supported you, and I will continue to support you. But now the pressures of the people of Makkah are so much that I have no choice but to stop you here and to tell you that what do you want? Tell us what you want. We will give you the most beautiful woman in the Arab world and we will do your nikah with her. We will give you all the wealth that you want. We will make you the leader of Makkah Mukarramah. But you must stop propagating this faith and speaking against our idols and our gods." Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said that, "Oh my uncle, you know that I have never spoken a lie. I have always spoke the truth. I am not preaching anything but that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed upon me. And that is that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you or the people of Makkah were to bring the sun and put it in one hand and the moon in the other hand, I will still not stop propagating this faith that Allah has revealed upon me. I have no choice but to continue this mission." Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly made it absolutely clear upon Abu Talib that there is nothing that I desire from the world, but I have been bound by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to deliver this message for which I will not stop at any cost. And upon that, Abu Talib then said that if that is the case, then I will support you all throughout my life until my last breath. And Abu Talib went back to the people of Makkah and he said that I cannot stop him, and whoever dares try to harm Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my nephew, then they will have to raise their sword against me and fight against me. This happened. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued to preach, and many people from outside Makkah started to come into Makkah to see and listen to the message that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was delivering. These people, they used to take the verses of the Quran that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was teaching, and they used to take them to the poets, to the people who are experts in language in the Arab world. They used to travel far to show the poets these verses and say that, "Can you write something similar to this so that we can prove that this is not the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but this is the kalam of man, and man can show examples of this kalam." They started doing things like this. A man called Dimad ibn Thalaba al-Azdi, which I mentioned yesterday, he was a friend of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he used to live outside Makkah Mukarramah. He was a tabib, yani he used to do tababa, he used to do medicine. At the same time, he used to do ruqya, which means he used to do dua and ta'weez. He used to write ta'weezat and things like that, and he used to cure people through these type of things. So he was an expert in kohna. He was a kahin. He could cure people through all these type of different means. So he, upon hearing what's going on in Makkah about his friend Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he comes to Makkah Mukarramah. He travels to Makkah Mukarramah and he sees that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he's walking in the streets, people are throwing rubbish on him. Children are calling him a madman and all sorts of things are happening. He sits with the people of Makkah and the people of Makkah say that he's lost the plot, ma'adallah. He has become mad and he says things. He's become a magician and he says words of magicians and words of magic and things like this. This is what Muhammad is doing, ma'adallah. So Dimad ibn Thalab al-Azdi, he was an expert and he would know if the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was using words of magic or some sort of evil. So he comes and sits in the gathering of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he listens to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's just beginning to speak amongst those who have accepted Islam. And he says, كي الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would speak very slowly. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would speak, he would speak slowly. نحمده ونستعينه. So he would speak slowly. When Dimad listened to these words from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he immediately came closer and he said, please repeat the words again. Please repeat what you said. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated the words again. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated them words, he stood up and he said, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are not the words of a madman, these are not the words of a kahin, these are not the words of a magician, but these are the words that have been revealed by a deity who is the only one worthy of worship, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he accepts Islam. In that manner, many others come from outside Makkah seeking the true faith. When they see the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or they hear the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they accept Islam. Once a group of people, they gathered and they brought this poet in front of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they said that this man will prove to you that your message is false. And your kalam is not the kalam of Allah, it is the kalam of man. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had announced, كَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ وَدُعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. These people started to try and challenge the Quran. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if you people are in doubt that this is the kalam of Allah, then bring a small example of these words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bring a small example that you have made yourself and challenge the Quran. And if you can prove that man can make such kalam, then that proves that this is not the kalam of Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you will never be able to prove or bring any example of the Quran. Once they gathered and they said that we have an example for the Quran. So the people of Makkah gathered to see what this example was, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned the surah Al-Qari'ah. Al-Qari'ah, Mal-Qari'ah, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْقَارِعَةِ يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسُ كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْعِهْنِ الْمَنْفُوشِ. This surah was revealed. Now these people, the thing is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalam, the ijaz of the Quran, is such that there was no example in the Arab world. There was no example. The way Allah mentioned the word Al-Qari'ah, nobody had ever heard the word Qari'ah before. They didn't know what Qari'ah was. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Al-Qari'ah. Mal-Qari'ah. What is Qari'ah? And when these verses were revealed, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke them, the ijaz of the Quran was such that people's ears automatically turned. What is Qari'ah? Al-Qari'ah. What is Qari'ah? Wa ma adraka mal-Qari'ah. What would you know what Qari'ah is? And when these words were recited, people's ears immediately, like a magnet, stuck to the words of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the ijaz of the Quran, because nobody knew what Qari'ah was and they wanted to know what it was. And this usloob where the word Qari'ah is mentioned 3 times in a row, this was all new to the people of the Arab world. So when they came with an example, when everybody gathered and they were to present their example of this surah, everybody became quiet and their reciter recited, Al-Fil, Mal-Fil, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْفِيلِ. The elephant. What is the elephant? What would you know what the elephant is? It has a long trunk. It has a tail at the back. It squirts water. There is no comparison to the Quran. Everybody knew what the elephant was. Everybody knows that the elephant has a trunk. Everybody knew the elephant has tusks. Everybody knew the elephant has a tail. They all knew that. So this kalam, when they mentioned it, the people of Makkah laughed. They laughed at these people and they said, in no way is this a comparison to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this showed This showed that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could not be challenged in any way. Once these people brought this poet, this really old man, who was a poet, who was an expert in their language, the Arabic language, he never used to live amongst the people, because the people, the language of the people had lowered in standards, so he didn't want his language to be affected by the language of the people. So his language was known as a high standard language. So they went and they brought this man. And what they wanted to prove is that in the Quran there are three words which are lower in standard, and Allah would never use such words. One of the words is istihza. Istihza means to mock somebody. Okay, yastahzi'u is in the Quran. Istihza means to mock at someone. They were saying that this word is not of high standard. Not of a high standard. And it's not an eloquent word. It is against the fasahat and balaghat of the kalam of Allah to use such word. So they brought this man and they said, if this man confirms that this word is against fasahat and balagat and is low in standard, then you have to accept that this is not the kalam of Allah. The other word is ujab. Ujab is a word for astonishment. And it is mubalagha, exaggeration, to say that something is really amazing and astonishing. It's strange and astonishing. And the third word was kubbar. Kubbar is also mubalagha, exaggeration. It means very big or very old. So these three words are mentioned in the Quran by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned these verses. And these are lower in standard, and therefore it cannot be the kalam of Allah. So they bring this man to prove that these words are lower in standard, because this man would never use such words. Even this man wouldn't use these words, never mind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when they bring this man in front of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the people of Makkah have now gathered. People from outside have come to see this challenge, to prove that the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is false. And they bring this old man, two people carrying him from both sides. His eyebrows are so long and grown that he can't even see. He has to look like this to be able to see what's going on. He comes in front of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to challenge the Quran. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him, Ijlis, sit down. So this man sits down. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him, Qum, stand up. So now this man struggles and he stands up. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him, Ijlis, sit down. So he sits again. And then he says, Qum, stand again. So he stands up the third time and the man says, Ke anta tastahzi'u bi? You are mocking me, making a joke of me. Wa ana shaykhun kubbar. And I am a very old and very big sheikh. Inna hadha la shay'un ujab. Verily this is a very astonishing and amazing thing. Yani he used all the three words in that one statement of his. And the people of Makkah clearly saw that these words are not lower in standard. They are not against fasahat and balagat. But verily this Quran could not be challenged in any way. No matter how many times they tried to challenge the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they failed. And these people who came with these challenges, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gained victory in these challenges, they stood there with their heads lowered down as though they had died, like they were statues, because they were so shameful. Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala says, Ke tere aage you hai dabe lache. Tere aage you hai dabe lache, fusaha arab ke bade bade, koi jaane muh mein zaba nahi, nahi balke jism mein ja nahi. That was the situation of these people when they stood in front of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the afsahul nas in speaking. No man could speak more eloquently and more beautifully than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No matter how great a poet or how great a sheikh that person was, no matter how much education he had received from a sheikh, in front of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no man could speak or challenge the language of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you look at the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is known as the Jawami'ul Kalim. He used to mention a few words, but them few words held oceans inside them. Them few words held oceans inside them. A person can write volumes of books on just a few words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is how fasih and baligh he was. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala was known. He was known for his eloquence in language. He was known for his poetry. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala was an excellent poet amongst the Arabs. Up to the extent that Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha, near the ending of the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this world, when she started making medicine for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people saw that she had become an expert in medicine. So people said to Sayyida Aisha that, "O Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, we know that you are an expert in poetry because you are the daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq." Do you understand? Because she was the daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, they had no objection in her expert in language and poetry. Because she was the daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq. But where did you learn medicine from? So Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha replied that, "I learned medicine when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became unwell near the ending of his worldly life, when doctors from all over the Arab world started coming and giving different medicines. I learned from them. I learned all these medicines." But to show you that how Abu Bakr Siddiq's level of language was and his expertise in poetry was, I mentioned this. He, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala, says, "Ketuftul Araba kullaha. I have done the tawaf of the whole Arab world. I have done tawaf of the whole Arab world." And remember, the Arabs are those who call the rest of the world Ajam. They call the rest of the world Ajam. And what Ajam means is those people who have no tongue. So the Arabs are the only ones who have a tongue, because they used to think, they used to be so arrogant, they used to think, "We are the only ones who are experts in language. Non-Arabs don't even know how to speak. They have no quality in language." So this was the world in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, and he had to challenge the religion of these people who are experts in language. And when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam challenged these people, there was no match to the language of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq says, "Ketuftu al-Araba kullaha, I have roamed around the whole of the Arab world for my trade business, for my business and for my tradings. Ma ra'aytu afsaha minka ya Rasulullah, I have never found anyone more fasih, more eloquent in language, more of an expert in language than you, ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam." Can you imagine how great the language of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was? Yet people say he was ummi, uneducated and unlettered. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Abu Bakr Siddiq said this, he replied, "Addabani Rabbi, it is my Lord who has taught me. It is Allah who has taught me." So imagine that he who has been taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can that man be uneducated and unlettered? He was the most knowledgeable and he was the most wise and eloquent in speech. And you know, just before I finish, let me take you back to when the first verse Iqra was revealed. You know, these people who say the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he replied, "I don't know how to read. I don't know how to read and write." That's what they say. But when Jibreel alayhi salam said the third time, "Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq," did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then recite or not? Of course he did. So if he did, then if you believe that before he did not know how to read and write, but when he answered Jibreel alayhi salam the third time, and then the Quran was revealed and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reciting, at least now you should accept that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam did know how to read and write. Inshallah, we shall continue tomorrow. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.